It's HPR and Helping Hand. Fridays on All Things Considered, we offer this segment, and then it is archived online at hawaiipublicradio.org. Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that helps people with disabilities and people and animals that are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. Today, we have a special edition of Helping Hand focusing on the Elephant Action League and its founder and executive director, Andrea Crosta. This group fights wildlife crime around the world, including the international cartels, which have turned this into the fourth largest criminal enterprise on the planet. Yesterday, in the first part of our conversation, which you can hear archived at hawaiipublicradio.org, we talked about how his teams work undercover in dangerous conditions, protecting some of the most vulnerable wildlife populations by going after the criminals who kill and smuggle them. Today, in the second part of our special report, he speaks with us about the group's work and the central role of China in a growing wildlife crisis felt around the world.
China is an incredible threat to the planet, to nature, to wildlife. At the same time, it's actually the only hope we have to save it, because we have somehow to start working with them and change their mentality. Otherwise, everything is lost. Almost every single wildlife product, illegal wildlife product we work on, ends up in China. So you have China, which is the destination market for pretty much everything you can imagine right now. The main, not the only one, but by far the main. I'm talking about ivory, rhino horn, pangolins, live animals from Africa, illegal timber, illegal fishing, illegal fish. And then you have the incredible important role of the so-called transit countries, such as Vietnam, Laos, Thailand, Cambodia, Myanmar, and they become very important in enabling the smuggling of all this stuff into China. Why? Because China somehow, especially during the past years, got a little bit more assertive, paying a little bit more attention to what gets in their country. So it became dangerous for international trafficking networks and syndicates to smuggle directly to China. So they prefer to go through transit countries. And in those transit countries, especially Vietnam and Laos, now you have the most important wildlife traffickers in the world. They never go to Africa. They never go to Mexico. They do everything from there. And they have been trafficking everything you can imagine for decades. So they're really, really good in placing orders in other countries. Anything. I want a ton of ivory. I want 10 rhino horns. I want 500 kilos of pangolins, totoaba. I want illegal timber. And then they take care of the second part of the smuggling route, which is sending all these things to China, to their trusted importers. So this is the scenario now where we are operating. And they are so sophisticated, they are so good in what they are doing, that if you don't fight back at the same level, meaning using crime specialists or people like we use, like former CIA, former FBI, there's no hope to be ahead of them. Law enforcement will always be behind them, like right now.
All of your investigations depend on the participation of people who put themselves in danger going undercover. And a lot of those really depend on Chinese speakers on a variety of levels, including some who risk their lives to stop this stuff. Talk about those people who are your partners. There's so many people listening who have contacts in the countries you've just named.
Absolutely. These people are our sort of silent, invisible heroes. Most of this work cannot be done by me or my team from the US or from Europe. It has to be done by them. When you engage those traffickers, and most of the time those traffickers are Chinese, you need another Asian, another Chinese in order to be credible. And they are doing an incredible good job. I mean, without them, we could not do what we do. And certainly we are very interested in recruiting more collaborators. I would never send someone unprepared to the field, because one of my responsibilities is to design this operation in this safest possible way for everyone. But most of the times, especially the Chinese and Taiwanese teams, when they are in the field, they are on their own. If something goes wrong, I have no way to help them, other than I know exactly where they are. So it's always difficult, if not impossible, for us to work with volunteers, because it's dangerous. But certainly we can train new people, or they can help us, for example, with the translations. They can help us going through open sources like social medias and websites to collect intelligence written in other languages, published in other countries, because there's a lot and we are sometimes overwhelmed by work. So yes, absolutely, I'd be happy to to sort of acquire new talents from those countries.
I would imagine that that is another way people can help you to try to identify and bring out intelligence about these online marketplaces.
Exactly. Pay attention. Now, Facebook, WeChat, that is used in China and Asia, Instagram, they became the marketplace for a lot of those illicit wildlife products. And it's incredible how those companies cannot stop it. I understand the challenge. It's difficult for those big high-tech companies to understand what is legal, what is not legal, but certainly they became a very important tool for wildlife buyers and sellers. And we actually get interesting information about well-known traffickers. They are incredibly open sometimes. They don't care much. Probably they are very comfortable in what they're doing with very little law enforcement on them. So they publish stuff. They are very active on social media. And this is for sure an incredible, very important source of information in general, even to understand what's going on.
When people donate to you guys, it can support the funding of these specific investigations.
Exactly. So we have a very low administrative cost. On purpose, we have a small office here in Los Angeles. Most of our people is actually scattered around the world. And this is how we keep general cost very low. And most of the money goes to the field to help those investigation and intelligence gathering operation that, as you can understand, for specific issues, they cannot stop. That's our main challenge. You create an intelligence infrastructure with sources and investigators and a lot of efforts to get information that are needed. That cannot stop. It has to keep going. And this is the essence of intelligence. Unlike investigation, intelligence must continue 24/7 harvesting of information. And right now we are working a lot on the illegal supply chain of ivory and rhino and pangolins from Southern Africa all the way to China through Southeast Asia. Another interesting project we are working on, the poaching and trafficking of jaguar. There is a very significant poaching and trafficking issue in Latin America of jaguar parts to be sold in China as tiger parts, because in China they are crazy for tiger bones and tiger teeth. And jaguars, unfortunately for them, they are the only big cats that can be sold as tiger because they have big teeth and big bones. So we have been working a lot and will be working a lot for the next 2-3 years on this very urgent problem.
A simple way that people can support you is by following you guys on social media and online and reposting and sharing the various materials that you offer.
Absolutely. This is a big help, actually, bigger than what you think. We are operating in a sort of a niche, so not many people, even people that love nature and they are familiar with the problem, environmental problem around the world, they are usually not so knowledgeable update about what is wildlife crime and what is the meaning and the impact of wildlife crime on nature. So just by reposting and sharing things from our social medias is an incredible help.
Here's how to help. Their website is elephantleague.org. There you can make a secure donation and find a contact form, or you can email info@elephantleague.org. They're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, where you can add them and then share their news stories and find part one of this interview from yesterday, plus this segment, the full interview, contact information, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests at hawaiipublicradio.org. And give a plug to the upcoming Leo DiCaprio documentary on China's consumption of the Toto Abofishus swim bladder, which is causing the extinction of the vaquita porpoise, a documentary you're going to be in.
I think that will be premiere at the end of January 19. The temporary working title is Sea of Shadows. It might change, but it's probably the most important film documentary ever on the specific issue of Toto Aba trafficking and the possible extinction of the vaquita. Hopefully this film will help, and also DiCaprio's role will help as well.
Andrea Crosta, he is the executive director, co-founder of one of the most unique nonprofits that's battling to save these animals. It's Elephant Action League. I hope you know there are so many people out there who are proud of what you're doing and who thank you for fighting on behalf of these animals.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your kind words. It gives me a lot of strength. Your help is really important for us because there's so much noise out there. And for us, the collaboration with the media is super important, especially media who understand what we do. Because you, of all the, believe me, I'm not saying just because I'm talking with you, but you are the one who all the time explain better than anyone else what we do. So thank you very much.